News.
Iranians across the country pay tribute to General Soleimani on the third anniversary of his assassination by the U.S. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi has praised the late Lieutenant General Soleimani as a symbol of resistance and fight against terrorism and global arrogance. Israeli forces raid a refugee camp in the occupied West Bank city of Bethlehem, killing a Palestinian teenager. Top story, people gathering in the southeastern Iranian city of Kerman to pay tribute to late Commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani 3 years after his assassination by Washington. Kerman is where the general's body was laid to rest and is hosting a special ceremony to honor his memory. Rallies and ceremonies for the anti-terror icon are also being held nationwide. General Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, the deputy head of Iraq's popular mobilization forces, were targeted in a U.S. drone strike near the Baghdad International Airport in 2020. Now, back then, a U.N. Special Rapporteur on extrajudicial killings condemned the strike as a violation of international law. Iran has called the assassination state terrorism and has vowed to take revenge on the masterminds and perpetrators of the drone strike in due course. The Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi has praised Lieutenant General Soleimani as a symbol of resistance and fight against terrorism and global arrogance. Raisi was addressing a huge crowd that gathered in capital Tehran to commemorate the third assassination anniversary of the general. He said that the anti-terror icon exposed the myth that the United States is an invincible power. The president underlined that remembering General Soleimani sends a message of hope to freedom seekers around the world. Raisi called Soleimani a unifying force for the Iranian society, adding that the slain general is dear to millions of people globally. The president stressed that Iran will never forget the assassination of the iconic figure and will definitely take revenge on those involved in the killing. Activist and political commentator Hossein El-Bukhati from Yemeni capital Sana'a joined us with his take on the U.S. assassination of General Soleimani.
Qasem Soleimani, he was, as we call him in Yemen, is the commander and the brain of the resistance against the Zionist state. And of course, it was a huge lose for the United States to successfully assassinate him. But his strategy, his method is still on the ground. I mean, you cannot end the war by killing one person. And we see that Yemenis are actually still fighting back, and they getting stronger and stronger. And I believe that the assassination of Qasem Soleimani, it will bring more thousands of Qasem Soleimanis, because as long as the resistance will focus its fight against United States policy and interference in Yemen, and as well the Zionist state occupation of Palestine, I believe that this assassination actually will add more fight against the United States and Israel.
On the third anniversary of the martyrdom of Iran's top General Soleimani, both public and private institutions are holding special ceremonies in his honor. Iran's Minister of Foreign Affairs, together with the judiciary, are following up legal proceedings to bring the perpetrators of the assassination to justice. Gisum Misha Ahmadi has more.
Forging a new Middle East with the rise of the Axis of Resistance, a legacy that transcends generations. And now, the third martyrdom anniversary of Iran's top commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, has prompted the Foreign Ministry of Iran to hold a special commemoration ceremony in his honor, and the foreign minister did not mince his words regarding the assassination.
Based on legal and international standards, the American regime bears definite international responsibility for this crime. Therefore, all the agents, instigators, perpetrators, and aiders of the terrorist crime assassinating our top commander must be brought to justice. With the help of the judiciary and also the government of Iraq, we have started legal proceedings, and a special committee has been set up to follow up the case.
Words that were also echoed in a statement released by the Iranian Foreign Ministry, according to which some 60 American officials in connection with the assassination have been blacklisted by the Islamic Republic.
He was a shining star in Iran's diplomacy because Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani's endeavors nullified the United States policies, including establishing a government in the region. So, one can say his main job was the empowerment of Iran's foreign policy. He also warned the enemies of the Islamic Republic to be mindful of their actions.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani is the man who got the ball rolling, significantly transforming the geopolitical landscape of the region in a way that even his assassination by the U.S. led only to greater Iranian regional influence and augmented the strength and prestige of what is known as the Axis of Resistance.
While Iran is moving forward with the legal procedures in cooperation with the government of Iraq, the third martyrdom anniversary of the top Iranian commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, is an opportunity to take a closer look at his legacy.
An artistic event in the capital, Tehran, dubbed Soldier's Narrative, brought together bands and music groups from across Iran to sing in the honor of the martyred commander. Sponsored by the Rudaki Cultural Foundation, the best lyrics and performances received awards in the name of the Commander of the Hearts, referring to Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, who was able to connect with all generations.
We should introduce this character to the world by using the great capacities of cultural events. General Soleimani stood up for resistance against arrogant powers, and he is the best role model for the younger generation.
The unveiling ceremony of the martyr's autobiography, I Was Not Afraid of Anything, can be considered the most significant event these days, allowing Iran's Generation Z to connect with the values that Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani stood up for. Gizumish Ahmadi, Tehran.
Now in other news, Israeli forces have killed yet another teenager during a raid in the occupied West Bank. Adam Ayad was fatally shot in a refugee camp in Bethlehem, and that a day after Israeli troops killed two young Palestinians in a similar raid on a village near the West Bank city of Jenin. During a Monday attack, they also destroyed the homes of two slain Palestinians who were involved in an operation that led to the killing of an Israeli officer in September. The regime forces conduct raids across the occupied territories almost on a daily basis. At least 170 Palestinians have been killed in the attacks since January last year. The Palestinian Prime Minister has roundly slammed Israel for storming Al-Aqsa Mosque during a visit by the regime's far-right minister to the compound, urging the Palestinians to confront such violations.
We call on our people to confront such incursions that aim to turn Al-Aqsa Mosque into a Jewish temple. This is a violation of all international norms, values, agreements, laws, and Israel's pledges to the American president.
Stressing his cabinet, Shetai held Israel responsible for the consequences of its latest action in the occupied Al-Quds. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry has also called the visit an unprecedented provocation, warning that storming the mosque risks escalation. Hamas's movement denounced the visit as well. It warned that raiding the holy compound is in line with Israel's malicious acts against sacred places. Israeli Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir visited the mosque under the protection of troops early on Tuesday. He reportedly had the green light from the regime's prime minister for his deprecating act. The Humanity Eye Center for Rights and Development in Yemen says that they have compiled reports, statistics, and hard evidence that proved that the Saud-led coalition committed war crimes on a massive scale in the year 2022. Yusuf Mari has the latest.
While the world celebrates the start of a new year with festivities and a display of fireworks, Yemen ushers in the new year with fireworks from artillery shelling by the Saudi-led coalition. In just the first hours of 2023, Saudi Arabia carried out a series of artillery shelling in northern Yemen close to Saudi borders. According to the reports, at least 18 innocents were injured in the latest attacks. This comes after a year of bloodshed, according to the Humanity Eye Center for Rights and Development. In their latest report for the year 2022, the center revealed statistics of war crimes committed by the Saudi-led coalition. According to the report, over 3,000 Yemenis were killed and injured in 2022. Humanity Eye Center statistic and research analyst Gais Jamal reports that these crimes occurred near the Saudi border during a ceasefire.
In the year 2022, most of the crimes were committed on residents living in bordering districts with Saudi Arabia, despite the announcement of a ceasefire. The only thing that stopped was the airstrikes. However, Saudi rockets and artillery shelling continued. There was no ceasefire in the districts near the Saudi border. From the first day the ceasefire was announced, the attacks continued until this day.
Saudi Arabia and its coalition also attacked airports, Yemeni ports, and almost 15,000 homes, livestock farms, and communication stations in 2020, according to the report. Humanity Eye says it has all the evidence to prove that Saudi-led coalition committed war crimes on a mass scale.
We have met with French rights groups and presented to them reports with evidence that expose how Saudi Arabia and its allies and European states played a direct role in supporting Saudi Arabia with weapons that were used to commit war crimes on Yemenis. We presented all necessary evidence to this French rights group, and they have filed a case in court against Mohammed bin Salman and bin Zayed for the war crimes committed. This case is currently pending.
The European legal system is unlikely to bring any Saudi or UAE official to justice, which is why Yemenis want justice now.
We are calling on our government to take tough military actions against the aggressors. They are occupying our lands, destroying our homes, and killing us, and we will not remain silent for much longer. We are a free Yemeni nation with a great civilization. We have the right to defend ourselves.
The Yemeni people are suffering from the blockade and the oppression being spearheaded by Saudi Arabia. Therefore, we call on the Yemeni government to take decisive actions now to lift the blockade and end the suffering of the people.
As the conflict enters a new year, tensions are steadily rising on all active battlefronts in Yemen between Saudi-led forces and the Yemeni army. If a peaceful resolution is not reached soon, an all-out war is likely to ensue.
Pressure is beginning to mount on the Yemeni government to end the blockade imposed by the Saudi-led coalition as millions of Yemenis continue to suffer. Yemenis we spoke with are calling on the Ansar Allah movement to end the siege now by any means necessary. Yusuf Mawri, Sana'a.
Syria condemns Israel's recent missile strike on the Damascus airport, calling it a violation of international law. The Syrian foreign ministry urged the UN Security Council to condemn the aggression immediately and punish the Israeli regime. The ministry added that the attack in the early hours of Monday left two military personnel dead and two others wounded. The strike put the airport briefly out of service over material damage. This is the second time, less than 7 months, that Damascus International Airport has been targeted by Israeli missiles. The regime frequently performs air raids in Syria that Damascus says are aimed at propping up terrorists. A new poll has highlighted the dire economic conditions in the UK amid a deepening cost of living crisis. The survey by Citizens Advice reveals that nearly 40% of UK adults find it difficult or impossible to cover even a £20 increase to their monthly outgoings. The charity said that people were increasingly resorting to desperate measures to get by, such as eating only cold meals. The study also showed that a third of the people have had to use their savings during the past 3 months. Almost 3 in 10 people saying that they are losing sleep because they're worried about their finances. The UK is witnessing a tightening squeeze on incomes as it's been hit by soaring energy costs and inflation. Now, speaking of the UK, railway workers there have started a 5-day strike demanding higher wages amid a cost of living crisis.
The government have contacted us late last night saying that they want to hold some talks next week, but from a period from December the 15th when I last met the government, they've done nothing. They did nothing in the intervening period. We gave them 3 weeks notice ahead of this wave of action. They took no measures to broker a deal or to get a settlement, which is really disappointing for us, and I'm sure it's disappointing for the public as well. But the government holds the key to this, and they're not willing to use it at the moment.
The Network Rail warned of major disruption, calling on people to travel only if necessary, as transportation services will be significantly reduced. Railway employees demand a pay rise proportionate to the country's soaring inflation, currently running at nearly 11%. Other transport sectors are also planning walkouts this week. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has, however, pledged to fight calls for inflation-busting rises, insisting the government must stick to more modest pay hikes for public sector workers. Britons are witnessing a tightening squeeze on their incomes due to a decades-high inflation. The European Parliament is set to waive the immunity of two of its members accused of corruption. The Parliament's presence as a move is based on a request by the Belgian judicial authorities. The two MEPs are said to be Belgian and Italian. They're accused of receiving money from World Cup hosts Qatar to influence European Parliament decisions on the country. Investigations continue into what has been described as one of the biggest graft corruption scandals to hit the EU. The case has already seen ousted European Parliament Vice President Eva Kaili remanded in custody. Now, to the other side of the planet, the Venezuelan president has slammed the United States for his, quote, foreign policy blackmailing of his country. Nicolas Maduro says that Washington's support for institutions that do not exist makes no sense. Recently, Venezuela's opposition-led National Assembly voted to disband their so-called interim government backed by the U.S. and led by Juan Guaido. The U.S. National Security Council then announced the country will continue to back Venezuela's interim government regardless of what form it takes. Caracas cut off relations with Washington in 2019 after it backed Guaido, who had declared himself president. The U.S. then launched a series of oil embargoes and targeted sanctions to force Maduro out of office. That's all for this newscast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
the wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
It didn't take more than a day after the most controversial and right-wing cabinet took over in Israel, headed by Benjamin Netanyahu. The UNGA acted swiftly and asked the ICJ to consider the consequences for Israel over its occupation of Palestinian territories.
Israeli practices and settlement activities affecting the rights of the Palestinian people and other Arabs of the occupied territories. End of quote.
It appeared as though the timing was pre-planned, and that the resolution was a signal to the new administration. Lots of cheers from PA Ambassador to the UN on the matter, though.
This vote and request comes one day after the new Israeli government was formed, pledging to accelerate colonial and racist policies against the Palestinian people.
It came as no surprise that the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu had the complete opposite view, saying that Israel is not bound by the UN vote. But does this resolution and referral to the ICJ even make a difference where Israel is concerned, or Palestinians for that matter? Definitely not. The reasons speak for themselves. As far as the ICC is concerned, Israel is not a party to the Rome Statute that established the ICC. This is while the International Criminal Court has determined that it does have jurisdiction over the territories occupied by Israel, despite Israel's insistence to the contrary. So what is the point of all of this if it won't change the facts on the ground? Well, aside from Israel not being a member of the ICC, it disputes its jurisdiction on the basis that Palestine is not a sovereign state that is capable of being a party to the Rome Statute. The UNGA areas of focus have been issues that Israel has not heeded, nor has it even taken into account. Violation by Israel on the rights of the Palestinian people to self-determination, as well as altering the demographic composition of Al-Quds, is something that Israel has been actively doing. Not only that, coming right out of the gates, this administration has already said that it will go against the resolution. When it comes to the UN, Israel has had the most UN resolutions slapped against it, over 70 and counting. Israel has followed none. The Israeli ambassador, Gilad Erdan, has called the resolution moral stain on the UN. He said no international body can decide that the Jewish people are occupiers in their own homeland, adding any decision from a judicial body which receives its mandate from the morally bankrupt and politicized UN is completely illegitimate. The UNGA resolution also exposes the hypocrisy of the so-called normalization of some Persian Gulf Arab countries with Israel. The resolution had virtually unanimous support from the Islamic world, including Arab states that have normalized relations with Israel. The new Israeli administration is described as being the most religious and right-wing in Israel's history. So extreme, it has even put it at odds with Israelis inside of Israel. Additionally, it has rattled the cages of Israel's closest allies while escalating tensions with the Palestinians. This new coalition has explicitly called for illegal settlement expansion, the occupied West Bank, to be its top priority, vowing to legalize dozens of illegally built outposts and to annex the occupied territory. The incoming Minister of National Security, Ben-Gavir, who will be responsible for the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Israeli police, and the Palestinians inside of Israel, has openly called for settlement expansion. Ben-Gavir also supports Jewish prayer at Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. Here's another point to consider. The United States, Britain, and Germany have opposed the UNGA resolution. The question that can be asked here is, if these countries voted against the resolution,
Doesn't that mean that they are in essence giving Israel the green light to go ahead with what the UNGA had proposed, like changing the demographics and the Islamic identity at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, or preventing the Palestinians' right of return, and other issues like settlements? The UK ambassador to the UN has already taken a defensive position when it comes to Israel.
We are deeply concerned at instability on the West Bank and call on all sides to work together to urgently de-escalate the situation. The UK will be voting no on the resolution. Israeli practices affecting human rights of the Palestinian people in the occupied Palestinian territories, including East Jerusalem, because we do not feel that a referral to the International Court of Justice is helpful in bringing the parties back to dialogue.
What appears to be certain is that the Palestinians may be facing an even bleaker future with this extreme coalition cabinet that has been formed. This can only mean that the crimes against the Palestinians may go into overdrive in this new year. And that is very hard to imagine, given that Israel has already violated Palestinians' right to such extremes that going beyond what has been done already is hard to imagine. It now remains to be seen how the world will react once this administration begins its work in the occupied Palestinian territories.
In his opening remarks, after exchanging niceties, the Kremlin chief invited Xi Jinping to Moscow for the coming spring. He talked about the current relationship between Russia and China and called bilateral relations the best in history. He also said that he expected trade between the two countries to grow despite unfavorable global market conditions. Another very important focal point of the talks was that Russia is seeking to strengthen its military ties with China.
In the current situation of tense international and regional relations, the significance of Russia-China comprehensive strategic partnership of coordination for a new era has been further enhanced as an important stabilizer on the international stage.
President Xi's opening remarks were rather similar in tone. He also expressed China's willingness to increase political cooperation with Russia and even be global partners against the background of a difficult international situation.
Your Excellency President Putin, my old friend, it's a great pleasure to meet you once again. It has become a good tradition for us to hold a video meeting at the end of the year. Under joint guidance, the China-Russia Comprehensive Strategic Partnership of Coordination for a New Era has become more mature and resilient.
While Western nations are waiting eagerly for a softening of tone from China towards Russia as they continue to attempt to isolate Russia in the global sphere, they may have to wait a while longer. 3 weeks before the Ukraine war, Putin met with Xi Jinping in Beijing. During that meeting, a 5,000-word joint statement was released in which the two leaders declared a friendship with no limits between the two countries. In the joint statement, they also expressed their grievances towards the U.S. and its allies. They also hinted at the transformation of the power dynamics of the world and the formation of a new world order. Mainstream Western media outlets have been monitoring China's attitude towards Russia eagerly and waiting for it to take a turn. Here are a few sentences from a couple of CNN articles on this issue. Experts say China's domestic situation has also changed significantly in the months since, which could necessitate a different approach to Putin this time around. More than 10 months into the grinding war, the world looks much different and the dynamic between both partners has shifted accordingly, experts say. Experts say Russia's war on Ukraine has served to strengthen Western resolve. CNN already even hypothesized a Russia without a strong Putin and how that hypothetical version of Russia could maybe, possibly warm up to the West instead of China. Of course, these are all predicated on their assumption that Russia is already losing the war. But is the West as united against Russia as its media outlets want it to seem? Or does it prefer to make it seem that way in the face of the enemy, even if the backing for sanctions and aids to Ukraine are gained through pressure and blackmail? onslaught pushing a particular anti-Russian narrative was meant to make it easier to justify the billions and billions of dollars poured into Ukraine in the eyes of the public. It was also used to force smaller European countries who couldn't afford to join the collective alliance against Russia into conforming, imposing sanctions, and agreeing on the oil price cap. This also included forcing much less powerful countries with way lower GDPs than, say, France, to pay nearly the same amounts in aid to Ukraine. It is clear that some of these countries, or most, cannot afford these aids, but their overlords in NATO and the EU are the ones that make decisions for them. One of the latest stunts in the media machine to justify the massive aids to Ukraine, especially in the eyes of Americans, is featuring Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on the cover of Time magazine. The Time magazine feature is particularly ironic, and it's not like it's the first time Time has been used as a publicity stunt. That is, disregarding the more questionable choices for persons of the year. Even more recently, Zelensky's appearance in the U.S. Congress was also viewed as a publicity stunt by a certain U.S. senator. "I didn't go to the speech because I didn't want to be part of a photo op asking for more money from the United States government when they have not given us a single piece of accounting on anything they spent." And as mentioned previously, they have now set their aims on China, looking for anything they can find in the Chinese leader's tone to see if they can portray Russia as even more isolated than they have been portraying it. And so far, they have no material to work with. In this relentless media campaign that follows a very specific agenda, no other voice is allowed.
Relations between Russia and the EU has reached its lowest point. That's according to the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. The top Russian diplomat says Moscow will not do business as usual with the EU, warning that it would find countries to work with beyond Europe. Lavrov further accused the EU of declaring, quote, a hybrid war in Moscow by unquestioningly following the U.S. He said Brussels' policies have only hurt the interests and well-being of EU citizens themselves. Lavrov has also accused the U.S. of barring EU nations from conducting dialogue on energy with Moscow. This despite the fact that Russia's supplies of cheap gas to Europe has provided the continent with, quote, unprecedented prosperity for decades. Naturally, there will be no more business as usual with such counterparties. We do not intend either to knock on closed doors or initiate any joint projects. The world is not just the European Union for us, and we have lots of friends and like-minded nations elsewhere. The war between Russia and Ukraine started back in February. Since then, the West, spearheaded by the U.S., have imposed waves of unprecedented economic sanctions on Moscow while supplying large consignments of heavy weaponry to Kiev. The Kremlin has said that the sanctions and the Western military assistance will prolong the war.
Well, last year it was $2.3 billion, and from financial year 2023, we'll put in another $2.3 billion. Some of that is non-military aid. Some of that is, you know, the likes of humanitarian support, such as generators. Some of that is obviously military hardware. Some of it is training. We trained Ukrainians in the UK, and we'll train another 20,000 in the UK. And some of it is effectively backfilling British stocks. So stocks we've given away, we need to replace to make sure our armed forces are up to date and on the forefront of being able to defend ourselves. So that's what makes up the $2.3 billion. We're committed to another $2.3 billion for 2023.
As the war drags on in Ukraine, there are now calls to end the conflict. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has been actively promoting his 10-point peace plan and has discussed it with U.S. President Joe Biden and other Western leaders. The plan calls for restoring Ukraine's territorial integrity, the withdrawal of Russian troops, and the restoration of Ukraine's state borders with Russia. It also calls for the establishment of a special tribunal to prosecute Russian war crimes. But Moscow has rejected a peace plan offered by Ukraine, saying that it must include Kiev's recognition of the four regions annexed by Russia. Lavrov says Kiev's plan for settling the conflict with Moscow is a non-starter. He said by putting forward all sorts of ideas and peace formulas, Zelensky cherishes the illusion that with the help of the West, he will be able to achieve the withdrawal of our troops. Lavrov, however, said that Moscow has not refused to resolve the conflict through negotiations, pointing to the previous rounds of talks with Kiev. Earlier this year, Russia and Ukraine held talks to end the war. The negotiations were reportedly on the verge of success when they were scuttled by Western powers. It is now believed that Western nations are trying to prolong the war in order to weaken Russia.
The number of children shot and killed in the United States in 2022 exceeded 6,000. The Gun Violence Archive found that at least 6,032 children, 17 years of age and younger, had been the victims of America's deadly gun epidemic. The number was the highest since GVA started keeping a record of gun violence casualties in 2014. The figure reflected a notable increase since last year, when arbitrary deployment of firearms by civilians was found to be responsible for around 5,700 casualties across the country. At least 306 children, 11 years old or younger, have been killed by gunfire, with 668 being injured. Additionally, 1,325 teenagers aged 12 to 17 died by gunfire, with 3,732 being injured. Last month, the GVA said there had been a total of 609 mass shootings in 2022 in the United States so far, putting the country on pace to reach around 675 by the end of the year. The grim statistics come after a 3-year-old girl in Kansas City, Missouri, was killed on Christmas Eve in what police suspect was an accidental shooting. The child shooting deaths in 2022 also include 19 students, all 11 years old or younger, killed in a mass shooting on May 24th at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. One of the youngest victims killed by gunfire this year was a 5-month-old who was shot in the head while sitting in a car in Chicago during a June 24th drive-by shooting. The United States has been suffering from an expanding trend of gun violence and episodes of mass shootings. In July, U.S. President Joe Biden said that a flood of guns was turning American communities into killing fields.
According to new data just released by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, guns are the number one killer of children in the United States of America. The number one killer. More than car accidents, more than cancer. Over the last two decades, more school-age children have died from guns than on-duty police officers and active-duty military combined. Think about that. More kids than on-duty cops killed by guns. More kids than soldiers killed by guns. For God's sake, how much more carnage are we willing to accept?
In October, the CDC released data on U.S. firearm deaths last year, counting over 47,000, the most in at least 40 years. The U.S. population is growing, but researchers say the rate of gun deaths has been getting worse too. America's gun-related homicide and suicide rates both rose 8% last year, each hitting unprecedented levels since the early 1990s. In a new study, the researchers examined trends in firearm deaths since 1990. They found gun deaths began to steadily increase in 2005, but the rise accelerated recently with a 20% jump from 2019 to 2021. The researchers counted more than 1.1 million gun deaths over those 32 years. The U.S. is saturated with guns and has become a lot more so over the past decades. As deaths mount from gun-related violence in the U.S., so do the sales of firearms. Data from 2020 shows how gun production has increased nearly threefold over the past 20 years, rising from the manufacture of 3.9 million guns in 2000 to more than 11.3 million in 2020. In addition, powerful lobbying groups, including the National Rifle Association, spent nearly $5 million last year to expand gun rights while limiting curbs on who can have firearms and how they can carry it. Also, gun owners have become less likely to cite hunting or sport as a reason for their ownership, instead pointing to personal security.
And despite widespread and vocal public outrage, American support for stricter gun laws in 2020 fell to the lowest level since 2014. According to polling by Gallup, only 52% of Americans surveyed said they wanted stricter gun laws, while 35% said they should remain the same. Over the last two decades, there has been a jump in the sale of high-caliber handguns and semi-automatic rifles. Figures from a Swiss-based research project named Small Arms Survey estimate that there were 390 million guns in circulation in 2018 in the U.S. Plus, the U.S. ratio of 120.5 firearms per 100 residents far surpasses that of other countries around the world.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
إلهي وسيدي فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته
وكل ذنب أذنبته.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, you know we have reached this part of the Kumail supplication, in which the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, continues, وَكُلَّ سَيِّئَةٍ أَمَرْتَ بِإِثْبَاتِهَا الْكِرَامَ الْكَاتِبِينَ, and every evil act which you have commanded the noble writers to record, الَّذِينَ وَكَّلْتَهُمْ بِحِفْظِ مَا يَكُونُ مِنِّي, those whom you have appointed to watch over every action of mine, وَجَعَلْتَهُمْ شُهُودًا عَلَيَّ مَعَ جَوَارِهِمْ, and those whom you have made, along with my limbs, witness against me. Now, in the previous episode, we mentioned that the recording of human deeds by the two writer angels, as well as the limbs, of course, are mentioned in the Holy Quran, and they are the witnesses for every human behavior, every word, every action. They are here to record. In the previous episode, we brought some of the verses of the Holy Quran explicitly mentioning that the body parts, different parts of the human body and the limbs are witnesses because they are aware of what has happened with them in this world, and they are bearing witness against the human being, or for him if he has done some good deeds with them. The Holy Quran about these two writer angels says, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, he utters not a word, but there is by him a watcher at hand. And this shows that those previous verses that we discussed about recording of human deeds by the limbs, although the Holy Quran says, كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ, those verses are not just about the deeds. They are both about the words and behaviors. This verse says, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ, he utters not a single word, إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, but there is by him a watcher at hand. So human beings are responsible, not just for their behaviors, but also for their words that they utter. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ. And this is a kind of monitoring at its best level. This is the kind of monitoring that Almighty Allah has. Everything under control. عَنِ الْيَمِينَ عَنِ الشِّمَالِ. And in this verse, رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, a watcher at hand. And beside the writer angels and human limbs, the earth will even testify against human deeds. As it is stated in Zilzal chapter, يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. On that day, the earth shall tell its news because your Lord had inspired her.
My Lord, my Master, I therefore implore you by the power which you determine, and by the decree which you have finalized and ordained, where you have prevailed, you have imposed it to bestow upon me this night and this very hour the forgiveness for all the transgressions that I have been guilty of, for all the sins that I have committed, for all the ugly acts that I have kept secret, and for all the evils done by me, secretly or openly.
Thank you, Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. Feeling the peace all around, seeing things we can never imagine, hearing
ocean of dua.
Dear listeners, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this part, talks about those two writer angels, as well as the limbs being witnesses for the human behaviors. Now, the Holy Quran says, along with those different verses about the body limbs being witnesses, and along with the verses that talk about the scrutiny of those two writer angels, that the earth is even testifying on that day. And also, beyond that, the Almighty, the prophets, the imams see human deeds, and they will testify against him according to some verses in Tawbah chapter of the Holy Quran. وَقُلِ اعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And say, work, so Allah will see your work, and so will His Messenger and the believers. وَسَتُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And you shall be brought back to the knower of the unseen and the seen, and then he will inform you of what you did. So, according to such Quranic verses, the testimony of the witnesses on the day of resurrection will be against the disbelievers. They will be against the enemies and wrongdoers. Because the believers and the repentant servants will be subjected to Allah's mercy on that day. Their books of deed will not be opened before other people. And Allah will make the witness forget the believers' sins. And Allah will save their faces. That is why Imam Ali alayhi salam states, "Man taba, taba Allahu alayhi." The one who repents, Allah would accept his repentance, because taba ala means to accept the repentance. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.